Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today. We meet together here on the radio in America and all the way around the world on this God Is podcast. Wherever you are and by however you listen, welcome. For more information about this ministry and who I am, visit our website, godisministry.org. That's godisministry.org. Should you be new to the broadcast or the podcast, I'm really glad you're here. A new podcast will be on the website 5 days a week, every Monday through Friday. If you go to the godisministry.org website now, you'll find all 5 podcasts for this week. And by radio, Lord willing, I will be here at this time on this station all this week. When we left off last time, we were discussing the rather unpleasant but necessary matter of when Christians say mean things to one another. Let's be honest, this happens. And I encouraged you, even as I encourage myself, with a lesson from how Bildad spoke to Job. If you said something to a friend, a brother or sister in Christ that hurt them, apologize. Seek forgiveness. And or, if you have been on the receiving end of hurtful words, well, this stings. It is easy to leave the church, to grow bitter, and to have unresolved anger boiling just beneath the surface, which is not good for you. By way of analogy, I'll tell you what will happen sooner or later. Go over to your refrigerator, pull out a bottle of soda or sparkling water, anything with carbonation. Shake it as hard as you can for a few minutes. Turn it upside down, backwards and forwards, then open it. Kaboom! You'll be wearing it, and the sticky soda and water will be all over your floor and walls. Well, that's what happens with bitter anger. Eventually, it explodes. It comes rushing out of the bottle of our lives. You will blow up, and everyone else will be hurt by you. Think critically about what to do with your bitterness and anger if you have it, and I believe you will know if you have it. Certainly, if you have left a church storming out in disappointment or lacking peace, angry, you must, by the grace of God, deal with these emotions. One Sunday morning in a church I pastored, in a Sunday school class, I was making this exact point about unresolved anger, deeply rooted in our lives, and I brought along a bottle of Diet Coke and started shaking it in front of the congregation. As I was shaking it, I kept talking, and then my intention was to open the bottle very, very slowly and watch as some of the Diet Coke oozed out of the bottle, but by mistake, I dropped it. Do you know that that bottle started spinning around on the floor as people ran for cover? I was drenched, and with no change of clothes, spent the rest of that Sunday sticky. Boy, was I sticky. This was a memorable moment. Yet from it came people who confided in me that they really did need to address the bitterness and seething anger in them towards someone in the church, in Christian community, who spoke to them like Bildad spoke to Job, with mean and hurtful words. God, by His Spirit, spoke to several men and women that morning, the day the carbonation exploded from a bottle of Diet Coke. I gave thanks to God for that. And I'm going to leave this point of application about mean words spoken to one another now. But I just want to say that if this is something you struggle with, there is a way forward. You do not have to spend the rest of your life hurt, disappointed, and disillusioned with friends, with the church, and even with God. There is a path to reconciliation with others and to be set free from what has been churning within you. Jesus Christ is the way. Call out to Him today and ask Him to help you. And I am here if you want some encouragement, prayer, and practical ideas. Let's look back to the stage now. Here in the theater of our minds, as the life of Job plays out. We're in Act 2, Scene 6. Bildad speaks and Job responds. And this opening point of application was drawn from Job chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. Job 18, verses 18 and 19. Now, we move forward into the book of Job, chapter 19. Job answers Bildad in verses 25 to 27 must be highlighted in all Bibles, in my humble opinion. It is Job chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. I'll read it in a moment. And as I said when we were back in chapter 14, here Job answers himself. In Job 14, verse 14, Job asks, "If a man dies, will he live again?" If you are very engaged, paying close attention, then you will remember I spoke about this verse last Friday and asked you to think about what your answer is. What did you come up with? When a person dies, will that person live again? Well, listen to Job's answer now in Job 19, verses 25 to 27, where Job exemplifies great faith. "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see and not another. My heart faints within me." Let me read that again slowly. I urge you to capture this. Job says, "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see and not another. My heart faints within me." Wouldn't you agree that is worth the highlight in your Bible? Job chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. Job wants to die because Job believes that when he dies, he will see God. In fact, these verses speak to the resurrection. This is most likely the first book of the Bible ever written. Job lived during the time of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and already there is belief by faith in the resurrection from the dead. Job believed in the resurrection of the dead and in no more pain and suffering when we are with God, when we see God. I find this astounding. Genuine faith in God, in Christ, translates into a strong conviction that we will rise again. When we die, our bodies go into the ground or become ashes that are kept or scattered. But when the rapture of the church comes, without any notice or warning, when Jesus appears in the clouds, our bodies are coming up out of our graves, our ashes are coming back together, and we Christian people are going to live with Jesus in perfected bodies. Job believed this. I do too. Do you? Job's heart fainted within him. His Redeemer lives, and therefore Job will live again. He will see God. Does your heart faint within you? Do you get this excited over the prospect of seeing God? Oh, this must capture our attention today and every day. Christians, we will see the Lord. This is a good time for you to shout out with me from wherever you are listening. Hallelujah! Praise God! Take a look up towards heaven from the hardship of this world. Look up and thank God that one day this world will pass away and the lust thereof. But the ones who do the will of God will live forever. 1 John 2:17. Now you might say, "Well, I am not a Christian. What about me?" Well, thank you for your honesty. This is not what will happen to you. When Christ takes Christian people to heaven at what we call the rapture, the whisking away of Christians from this world, if you are alive during this, you will remain here. If you have already passed away before this, then you will face the judgment of God on you for your sin, and His just judgment will result in you spending eternity in the domain of what the Bible calls hell. That's why I want to urge you, as always, to humble yourself before God at this hour, to tell Him about your sin, and to invite His forgiveness for you. And I'm standing by, as are all your Christian friends and family, eager and ready to tell you more of what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you too will join us one day in heaven in the eternal and perfect presence of God. Reach out to someone you know, or me, someone who loves Jesus Christ today, and let them know of your interest in what comes next when you die. Death is a reality for every person. I know it is an uncomfortable topic for many of you, but one moment we will be here and gone the next, sometimes without any notice. Like Job, let's all be prepared for our death. When a person dies, does that person live again? Job says yes, and I agree with Job. We all live again. The question is, will that be in the eternal, peaceful, perfect presence of God? Or will that be in unrelenting and justified, never-ending torment in hell? I believe hell is real. I believe it is eternal, never-ending, and I am not shy about telling you about it with the hope and prayer that you will surrender your life to the mercy of God and change the direction of your eternal destiny today. If you are bound for hell, separate and apart from Christ and without hope in this world, I pray you will respond positively to Jesus soon. At the tender age of 13, I did this, and I can tell you that over 30 years later, this was the greatest moment in my life. I have never regretted loving Jesus Christ and following him every day since then. I've never followed him perfectly, always flawed, always a sinner myself, but he has forgiven me all of my sins, and he is in the process of perfecting me. Slowly now, God is not finished with me yet, in the process of perfecting me. For the moment, I see Christ. We are out of time, but I hope you will take what I have said to heart and join me again tomorrow, for God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.